Hi, it's Jeff Farley at the Otisville Mount Hope Presbyterian Church on our weekly podcast. Today's word from our weekly sermon. If after listening you have questions or would like to know more, please contact us at our email address or check us out on our website. This podcast is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, seeing Christ in you. When the Son of Man comes in his glory with all of his angels, he will sit on his royal throne. The people of all nations will be brought before him, and he will separate them as shepherds separate their sheep from their goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "My Father has blessed you. Come and receive the kingdom that was prepared for you before the world was created. When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. And when I was naked, you gave me clothes to wear. When I was sick, you took care of me, and when I was in jail, you visited me." Then the ones who please the Lord will say, "When did we give you something to eat or drink? When did we welcome you as a stranger or give you clothes to wear or visit you while you were sick or in jail?" The king will answer, "Whenever you did it for any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you did it for me." Then the king will say to those on his left, "Get away from me. You are under God's curse. Go into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and the angels. I was hungry, but you did not give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, but you did not give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, but you did not welcome me. And I was naked, but you did not give me any clothes to wear. I was sick and in jail, but you did not take care of me." Then the people will ask, "Lord, when did we fail to help you? When you were hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in jail?" The king will say to them, "Whenever you failed to help any of my people, no matter how unimportant they seemed, you failed to do it for me." Then Jesus said, "Those people will be punished forever, but the ones who please God will have eternal life." So a few years ago, when we visited Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania on a mission trip, the leaders of the event suggested we do some God sightings so that we could report later that evening at the closing worship service what we had seen God doing. We had driven there with the intent of making a difference, always a noble goal. We were there helping repair flood-damaged houses, and while we knew God would be with us, the request seemed at first an odd one, suggesting that in some way we hadn't anticipated, God was already at work in that community. I mean, in a flood-ravaged town, where would we see God? But we quickly learned two really important things. One was that looking for God and seeing God in a disaster situation is essential to keep you from falling into the dangerous pit of despair. Houses with water damage up to the first floor ceilings, dark and dank and potentially moldy, can be a huge shock to the system. We met folks who had lost everything. We saw children's toys scattered around the yard where the floodwaters had dropped them. Our tears were real. But then it was as if God removed the scales from our eyes and we began to see God. We realized that, in fact, our eyes had been badly focused, failing to see God at work in situations well beyond our expectations. And as a bonus, realized that we should be seeing God in all kinds of everyday lives, in situations and in people all of the time. We were failing to see Christ, but God wonderfully opened our eyes in that invitation to look for God's sightings, to see the world through God's eyes. And we can do that today if we look. Today we can see Christ in each other and in so many others if we choose. We could even see God in you. After all, as disciples, followers of Jesus, we are Christ-like, aren't we? Our lives, our attitudes, our choices ought to reflect the Lord's working in us all the time, especially on Sundays. But there's a caveat. We need to remember some of Jesus' siblings, our brothers and sisters in Christ, don't look like us, don't sound like us, don't even sometimes smell like us. They may not have houses or even apartments. They might live in a homeless shelter or on the streets. They may not eat what we eat or eat at all on a regular basis. They may not be employed or have a college or even high school education. They may not come from wonderfully stable families that always work to keep them safe. They may have even spent time in prison. They may struggle with emotional illness and know for sure that the sky is pink and the ocean is red, and they may not speak English or even speak at all. But they were made, the scripture affirms, in the image of God, and as such are our siblings in Christ. Now, have all of them decided to follow Jesus as disciples? No. Does that matter? As far as their relationship with Jesus does, it does matter. They need to work that out for themselves and deal with the consequences of that decision. But as far as our relationship with them goes, it only matters in that we are told to go and make disciples, so we best remember our calling as disciples ourselves and do what we need to do to invite them, as welcoming hosts, to join us to follow the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But even more importantly, particularly based on today's teaching by Jesus, on that final moment of judgment, we need to care about much more. We need to be deeply concerned about whether folks who are not necessarily like us are being cared for, especially when they cannot, for whatever reason, care for themselves. The reasons could be another person's neglect, poverty, emotional illness, incarceration because they did something illegal, or just because their well has run dry. Jesus says the King only cares whether we have fed, given a drink, welcomed, clothed, cared for in a time of illness, or visited those persons in prison or elsewise detained. If we have, we are sheep welcome to join the eternal flock. If not, we are goats, and it appears we are invited instead to a barbecue. Judgment may be a theme that makes you uncomfortable. It probably should. But the intent of Jesus' story really is to remind us that our actions and inaction has consequences. I've shared before that a friend once gave me a hat that said, "Jesus is coming, look busy." But as Jesus makes clear here, busy is not nearly enough. We are to be found busy fulfilling kingdom priorities all the time. Jesus told his disciples to go and make more disciples, baptizing them and teaching all that he had taught them. But there's more. We're to be found looking, acting, and sounding like Jesus himself, caring deeply for creation, including all of humanity. So about those God sightings, where in the last week have you seen God at work in the people around you, in the situations you have encountered? Even in your own life. Share the wonder and do be sheepish. Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. If you have questions, like I said, you can email us at otisvillepress@hvc.rr.com or check out our website at otisvillepress.org.